America's space endurance champion is headed home. Astronaut Shannon Lucid said goodbye to Russian cosmonauts on board the Mir space station today and joined her colleagues on the space shuttle Atlantis. The two vessels are scheduled to detach this evening. When astronaut Lucid returns to Earth on Thursday after 188 days in space, people will congratulate her for successfully enduring such a long time in such cramped quarters. That ability is due in part to her training, years spent in space simulators, learning to cope with the restrictions space travel imposes. If some forecasters are right, one day tourists will go into space. In fact, this Thursday, the same day Shannon Lucid is scheduled to land, NASA is holding the first meeting ever of a committee composed of people from both the tourism and space industries. Dr. Barbara Stone is with NASA's Office of Advanced Concepts. She says this week's session will be a low-key affair just to set the timetable for a report on the subject. She calls it the meeting of two universes.
Last year, the Space Transportation Association of the United States approached NASA and asked us to participate in a study of space tourism. Specifically, what needs to happen in order for a large U.S. space tourism industry to develop? As you may know, travel and tourism is one of the largest industries in the world, and in terms of employment, it's the second largest industry in the United States. We've formed a steering group to help with this study, and they include members from the astronaut community, the Travel Industry Association of America, Northwest Airlines, the insurance industry, and also a number of forward-thinking people who are authors and people who have done creative financing. And we look forward to working on this study.
One member of this steering committee brings with him the results of an experiment conducted earlier this year at a school in Southern California. At Claremont McKenna College, a class studied ordinary people as they pretended to be aboard a space vessel in Earth orbit. The psychology class watched for mood swings in two groups of local people. One group received minimal training in how to get along with their fellow passengers. Another was drilled in the art of group dynamics. The goal was to measure the benefits of the additional training. Students recruited their subjects by placing an ad in the local newspaper. With a mixture of curiosity and suspicion, the participants arrived on a Friday night to spend a weekend in a specially converted classroom. The students observed the pseudo-passengers by video cameras and through one-way glass in a room dubbed Mission Control. Detailed charts recorded every smile, every frown, every joke, every angry remark. All this an attempt to understand how people handle the stress of confinement. The students were doing this because, unlike professional astronauts, vacationers won't want to spend years getting ready for their flights. So a way must be developed to give them just enough information to keep things civil on board their spacecraft, somewhere between the safety guidance that flight attendants recite on jetliners and the full-fledged training given to NASA astronauts. At NPR's request, another observer was present at the space simulation in California, performance artist Lori Anderson. She spent the weekend in a small room behind Mission Control, listening in on the volunteers inside the spaceship. She observed them pretending to be in orbit and learned why they signed up in the first place.
I saw an ad in the paper on someone wanting to take a flight into outer space, and I thought it would be really exciting and a lot of fun. So I told my husband, let's do it. So we did, and we got chosen.
I'm Lee Scott. I live in Ontario. I've lived in California now for 20 years. I saw the ad in the paper. Make space history, and I figure I've been accused of being a space cadet for years and years, so it's about time I make it official.
My name's Matt Thompson. I'm from San Diego. I grew up in Pomona, and my folks, actually, who live in the area, saw the ad. When I was a youngster, actually, I wanted to be a train engineer and would go out and watch the trains passing by my house in Pomona all the time and count them.
Well, I'm Lyra Tennant and I live in Upland. I've been there 40 years. I was born in Tennessee. The reason I wanted to get in this program is because I did fly on test flights on B-24 and B-25J bombers in World War II.
Last spring, a group of 8 people in Southern California responded to an ad in the local paper that read, "Make Space History," and promised them $100 to spend the weekend in a space capsule that would simulate a trip in low Earth orbit. The project was sponsored by the Aerospace Psychology Labs at Claremont McKenna College. And the idea was to find out how people would react psychologically to what might become real vacations in space. The director of the simulation, Dr. Harvey Wickman, explained the goals this way.
We were comparing our data to the data from the European Space Agency's studies that showed that people over a 30-day and a 60-day space flight, simulated space flight, had their interpersonal tensions peak at the midpoint of the 30-day and 60-day flight and just before the end, regardless of how long the flight had taken. So one of the things the scientific community wants to know is, does that hold for just short periods too, or is that just a long-term, long-duration phenomenon? Well, you can imagine that those people had a way of measuring the general amount of happiness and pleasantness that occurred for each day. So you would have 30 data points over a 30-day period, and you could draw a graph. Happiness up, happiness down, happiness up, happiness down, happiness way up or way down or something like that.
So anyway, my job was to be a kind of observer of the simulation and try to get some impression about whether people might consider this a vacation. Would they find it relaxing? Would they want to go more than once? Now, I'm not sure why I was picked for this job. I myself don't have any vacation skills at all. Now, partly this is genetic. My Swedish ancestors are really a pretty gloomy bunch. They get fun completely backwards. So if they go to a funeral where they're supposed to be sad, they find this very easy. It comes naturally. So this makes them very happy. But when they're invited to a party where they're supposed to have fun, they find this incredibly difficult and defeating. So they get even more depressed and sad. Anyway, I finally arrived at the simulated liftoff, determined to have fun, or at least to analyze whether other people were having any. The simulation weekend began with a series of lectures to the passengers about teamwork.
Obviously, I am talking about conflict, and conflict occurs whenever disagreements exist in social situations over issues of substance or wherever.
Finally, the passengers, surrounded by their friends and families, lined up to enter the capsule, which was made of plywood and blinking lights. They were playing the theme from 2001 on a boombox. For the next 48 hours, we monitored the passengers with cameras and microphones. For the most part, they spent their time watching videos on monitors that showed their approximate position in space, moving around the capsule as if they were really in zero G, and filling out hourly questionnaires. Every once in a while, they would talk to Mission Control, who would answer their questions over a wide range of topics.
Having sex in space is an extremely difficult ergonomics problem. And it is because you've got to have two organisms synchronized in rhythmic behaviors. And those organisms somehow have to be restrained.
Somewhere around the middle of the weekend, the psychological low point that had been predicted actually arrived when the passengers were asked to participate in a line dance exercise video. Now, not everybody wanted to dance, and you could feel the tension mounting in the capsule as some of the passengers hung back from the group and started to complain. But at least for me, watching a group of people trying to line dance while pretending to hurl through space was actually a whole lot of fun. At the end of the weekend, I asked some of the passengers what they thought of the experience.
I did not think of it as a vacation because I am on vacation now. I'm retired and I don't have to go to work.
So you didn't find it like a relaxing experience?
No, because we're busy all the time. They kept us jumping. It was more like a military thing, which I figured that it would be. And it's sort of like a teamwork there too on a military basis.
I wasn't looking to go to have fun. I do have fun. My life is fun. Everything's fun.
I tell you, I thought at one time that maybe we were, I don't want to say guinea pigs. It's just trying to help them find out what some of the problems are and what the solution would be.
Impressions of a Space Simulation by Laurie Anderson. The experiment at Claremont McKenna College in California monitored the emotional and social interactions of a group of local citizens. The results of the test showed that the points of greatest stress in the voyage came at the midpoint and just before the end. The study was funded in part by McDonnell Douglas.